17, verse number 22. I want to read a few verses and share with you what God's laid on my heart, and then we'll baptize Brother Frank. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing? My wife asked me, said, "What size shirt you think he wears?" I said, "Ain't no doubt he's a 2X. See, that boy's an extra large. What are you, son? I'm going to shop at his store. You hear me? I'm going to his store. If that boy wears a large, I'm wearing a small. You hear me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, we're at God's house. Amen. I want to share a little title, and I want you to understand this. Ignorant worship is not worship. Ignorant worship's not worship. Ignorant worship. When you don't know who you're worshiping, why you're worshiping, or where you're worshiping, you don't know nothing about it, that's not worship. Raising your hand up on Sunday morning, that's not worship. Ignorant worship is not worship. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" In this next text I'm fixing to read in the book of Acts, Paul went up to Mars Hill, and when he got up there, he found them ignorantly worshiping an unknown God, which was Jehovah, but they didn't understand exactly who he was. So tonight, as your pastor, I want you to know that we serve a God that loves us, that shows us grace, that shows us mercy, that chastises us when we need it, and that gives us what we need when we need it. He don't withhold any good thing from us. And tonight, I want you to know this tonight, ignorant worship isn't worship. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said," Acts 17:22. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription on it, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Paul said, "I'm going to tell you who this God is. I'm going to tell you." Amen. Woo! Can you tell me who God is this afternoon? I pray you say, "I can tell you exactly who he is, preacher. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King." Amen? "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as those he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, for in him we move, and for him we are have our being. As certain also of our own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Our Father and our God, it's good to be in your house. And I thank you tonight that we're not ignorantly worshiping tonight, but we're worshiping the one true God. We're worshiping you tonight, Father. You are the Creator tonight. And Lord God, we've come to worship you in spirit and in truth. In the book of John, the Bible says that, Father, your word says that the time will come when we'll worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray you bless the hearers tonight. I pray you bless their ears to hear. I pray that you bless the reading of the word. I pray that you bless everything that goes out tonight. And Father, I pray tonight, if they be one lost, they be saved before it's eternally too late. Father, I love you. I thank you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be very clear. Let it be correct tonight, most of all, Father. Let me not speak my opinion, but let me speak, thus saith the Word of God. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, ignorant worship isn't worship tonight. When Paul stood here at Mars Hill and seen an altar made to the unknown God, Paul took the opportunity right there to explain to them who God really was. He said, you're worshiping something that you have no idea about. You're worshiping a God that you have no idea about. You don't know Him. You don't know this God personally. Can I say to you tonight, it's something when you know God very personally in your life. It ain't walking on Momo's faith or Popo's faith or Mom and Daddy's faith, but you have your own faith in God and God alone. Can I get a witness this afternoon? And the Bible says here, if you'll look with me in verse number 24, here's how He explained it. And I'm going to give you three ways that He explained God very clearly. Number one, He explained God as being the creator of everything. Look what the Bible says. Watch your Bible here. He says that God made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and in earth and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. We see tonight that He explained Him as the creator of everything. He is the creator of heaven and in earth tonight. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created what? He created the heaven and the earth. The very first verse in the Bible, you know what it said? It said that God created it. It ain't no big bang. It ain't out of some manner tonight. Can I say to you tonight, the God of glory, the God of heaven, when He stepped out, He made the heaven and the earth. He gave the breath that you breathe in your life this afternoon. And the Bible says that we don't ignorantly worship Him, but we know exactly who He is tonight. I know tonight, as it was spoke this morning by our sister Tanya and Brother Eric, the air that I breathe is not my air, but it is His air. When you was doing that this morning, the illustration with the kids, it got right on me and what God spoke to my heart. I see, number one, He is the creator of everything. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Hey, but can I say to you tonight that the Bible also says that He is the creator of the breath that is in your lungs. Look what He says in verse number 25. Neither is worship with men's hands as though He need anything from us, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. You know tonight, not only did He create the heaven and earth, but He created the air that is in your lungs. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Hey, the Bible teaches it and I believe it. Can I get an amen? Hey, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7 tonight. And when Paul started telling them at Mars Hill who God was, he said, hey man, He created everything. There's not one thing that He don't have His hand on. He created the heaven and the earth, and He created the breath that is in your lungs. And this afternoon, the Bible says, everything have breath, let them praise the Lord. But look with me in verse number 7, and this just gets me excited here. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. There's the body right there. You're talking about the Godhead. You're talking about the Trinity. You're talking about us made up of three parts. Here it is in chapter number 2 of Genesis. Friends, this afternoon He says, and the Lord God, what did He do? He formed man out of the dust of the ground. Can you imagine when God reached down and He started forming man, and He took the dust and He started forming us and making us? They said any normal man that would be alive, that would weigh between a 180 and 190. He said if you took him and all the dust and the dirt that he'd be worth, and you put him in a bottle and you put him in a jar, you know how much you're worth in this world that we live in? You're worth about 6 cents. That's all you're worth in the dust that you're made of, and the dirt and the clay and the mud that you're made of. You're worth about 6 cents. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't waste my breath on 6 cents. Can I get a witness? Hey, but can I say the God of glory, He reached down and He seen, hey, we wouldn't worth nothing without His breath inside of us. And you know what? The God of creation, the God of heaven, the God of earth, it said that He formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then He breathed into his nostrils. You say, what is that, preacher? He breathed in the spirit right there. Hey, we see we got the body, but we got the spirit. Hey, a man can walk around with this physical breath, but if he's never been born again, he don't have that breath from heaven. He don't, whoa, glory to God, hallelujah. And He said, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. At that moment, that man became a living soul. Look what your next part is. And man became a living soul. There's three parts made up right there. When God reached down from heaven and He started molding you and He started making me and He formed us out of the dust of this earth, He said, there's the body that I've made, and that body's not going to be like an animal, and that body's not going to be like a plant, and it's not going to be like a tree. I'm going to give it something very special. And you know what He did, Brother Roy? He reached down and He breathed into our nostrils right there, and we became a living soul, and that spirit came on the inside. And when man sinned in the garden, you know what was separated between God and man? It was that spirit. It was that spirit that was separated, and it's that spirit that needs to be reunited back with man, between man and God. It is that spirit. Everybody in this room has a body. Can I get an amen? Everybody in this room has a soul, and it's going to spend eternity somewhere. You say, preacher, what needs to be saved? You need to be reborn. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. And when that Spirit comes in, you become new. You're not who you used to be. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. When He breathes into you, you become new. But look what He says. Not only is He the creator of everything, He is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the creator of breath. Man, I love that. But He is the creator of the blood and the boundaries of men. Every blood. Look in your text tonight, if you will, with me in verse number 24. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hand, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He need anything, seeing He giveth all to all life and breath and all things, and hath made one blood. We're all out of the lineage of Adam. There's one blood. He said, well, I'm better than so-and-so. You ain't better than nobody. Amen. Woo, glory. We all got that one bloodline in us. And can I say, without the blood of Jesus, we have a sin blood nature. That nature that's in us is sinful, and it needs the blood of Jesus Christ. And it hath made one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had to determine the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Look what He says here. He says, not only is He the creator of heaven and earth, not only is He the creator of the breath that's in our lungs, but He is the creator of our own bloodline. Man, ain't that good? When He was explaining to them that unknown God that you don't know nothing about, I'm telling you, He is the creator of all things. You say, preacher, I don't have that blood in me. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I see in the text this afternoon, as we get there in the book of Acts chapter number 17, I see number one that He is the creator of everything. But look with me in verse number 27. He has created everything. Man, we ought to praise Him for that. Amen. Man, He has created everything, and we ought to, man, just praise Him for that. Look in verse 27. Not only God is the creator of everything, He said, don't ignorantly worship. Everything you know, everything you got, everything comes from God. Everything. He giveth, and He can take it away. Man, He gives and He can take away. This afternoon, don't you worship Him ignorantly. You worship Him reverently and reverence His name. He's creator of everything, but He is close to everyone. Not only is He the creator of everything, but He is close to everyone. The psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. He is close to everyone. Look with me in verse number 27. That they should seek the Lord. That's what we should be doing. He is the creator, and we should seek Him. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. I see not only is He the creator of everything, but He is close to everyone. You say, preacher, what I do if He's close? Number one, seek Him. He's that close, you can seek Him. There's something that Ryder likes to do now. We got a bassinet in our bedroom that's never been used. Can I get a witness? Sleeps between me and Mama all night long, right between us. We got a bassinet that he does not use. But you get looking for him and you holler, Ryder! Ryder! And you look under that bassinet and he's under there. And if he sees you make eye contact, he goes. He's not through playing hide and go seek. He's not through. He's wanting to play more. Can I say to you tonight, God's not putting His hands over His eyes for you? If you'll seek Him, you will find Him. He is not hiding from nobody. He is the creator of everything tonight, and He is close to everyone. He says, I want you to seek me, seek the Lord, but also serve the Lord, and you will find Him. You say, preacher, what will I find in Christ Jesus? Man, this is so important tonight. In verse number 28, He's close to everyone. He is right there with you in Him. What do we have in Him? Look what He says in verse number 28. For in Him we have what? We have life. For in Him, without Him, we have no life. But in Him, we have life. In Him we move. We're able to move around because we're in Him. I love that. For in Him we live. For in Him we move. And we get about our daily business. We get about doing the things that God has called us to do. But I love this part. And have our being. In Him we live. In Him we move. But in Him we exist. Without Him, we don't exist. Without Him, we're nothing. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter number 1 this afternoon in verse number 16, if you will. Colossians chapter number 1 in verse number 16. In Him and not in ourselves. Colossians chapter number 1 in verse number 16 and 17. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we exist. Man, I thank God for that, don't you? Man, I thank God for that, that in Him we exist. In Him we move. In Him we live. Not in ourselves, but in Him. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16, same thing about Him. For by Him were all things created. The Bible, you almost think it's just telling itself. For by Him all things are created. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or exist. By Him. You say, preacher, this world is wicked. This world is out of control. Listen, this world is right where He wants it to be right now. It ain't caught Him off guard. It ain't caught Him. He's not wringing His hands in heaven. He's not scratching His head. He knows exactly what's going on. He is the creator of everything, and He is close to everyone. He said, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. They said there was this man, and he was an atheist. And man, he did not believe in God. And this little boy did believe in God. And he wrote us, and in his classroom, he wrote this up on the board. And he wrote up God. He put God is N-O. Nowhere. God is nowhere. And said every day that walked into the room, he had that up on the board. He had that posted on that board. God is nowhere. And that little boy, he just walked in every day and read that. God is nowhere. And said he walked in one day and the W had fell off where. And said he reached down and slapped it right on the end of no. And then it read, God is now here. God is now here. It's weird how one letter changes everything in how you believe. This afternoon, there'll just be one thing, one incident in your life that'll change the way you believe and how you see God as being your creator and what He's done in your life and how close He is to you. I want to ask you this afternoon, how close is God to you this afternoon? But the better question is, how close are you to God? How close are you to God? I'm going to finish up with this so we can get on with our baptism. Number one, He's the creator of everything. He's close to everyone. Not only has He created everything, but He's right there. He's close. He's a friend that'll never leave you. He'll stick closer than a brother. Man, I'm telling you, He is right there with you every step that you make. No matter where you go or what you do, He is right there. I've been thinking all week long about how good God is and what He's done in my life and how He spared me and done things in my life. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to go to work. You're going to go to the place and do what you've got to do. And can I say to you, it don't matter where you go tomorrow, God's there with you. That's how God is. He is that close. He is right there. Every step that you make, He's making that step with you. He's right with you in line, line upon line, precept upon precept, word upon word. Here a little, there a little. He is right beside you everywhere you go. My last point is this, not only is He the creator, not only is He close, but He is the commander. How would you like to know that when you go to work tomorrow, you've got a commander right beside you? Brother Kevin Phillips lives in Illinois. In Illinois. And Brandy showed me something the other day on Facebook that he shared. And when he showed me this, God is everywhere. If you'll just open your eyes and say, God, show me. If you'll seek after Him and serve Him and search Him. Searching. Country Bob's. Is that not the name of it? Country Bob's. Y'all know what that is? Steak sauce, Country Bob's. A1, Heinz, Country Bob's. I always thought Country Bob's a lot. It was A1, Heinz, Country Bob's. Yep. Some people think it's Country Bob's, A1. You know, Sister Keela thinks A1 at the top of the list. I can see how she's grinning out there. But you know what's on a, does anybody know what's on a Country Bob's bottle? The Lord is our CEO. And it's got a picture of a fish on there. You say, well, what good is that going to do? You never know who's going to see that. You never know who's going to, you say, hey, he's my Lord. He's my Lord. He's my creator. He's close to me, but most of all, he's my commander. He commands me to do what I need to do. And can I say to you tonight in verse number 30, when we get down to this point, when he was telling them who God was and he was explaining how he was the creator and how close he was, he said, there was a time that God winked at your ignorance. Can I get a witness? Done things out of ignorance. Just really didn't know, but done it and tried to get by with it and push it off. You ever done that? You really knew better, but you just did it anyway because you didn't really know, but you knew you wouldn't get in trouble because you did it that way. He said, there's a time God winked at that ignorance, but no more. Now he commandeth, he's my commander. Now he commands men everywhere to repent. What is repentance? That's not remorse. That's not being sorry that you got caught with. Repentance is when you change. When you realize that God's got a hold of you, he's called your attention, he's called you at what you've been doing wrong, and he says you need to repent, you need to turn and go a different way. You don't need to keep going the same way you're going. You need to turn around. Not because you got caught by man, but by God Almighty, the creator of this universe, got so close to you, he put a command on your life. This morning, there's some people got saved in here because God got that close. God got that close to them and felt that Spirit of God pulling them, and they asked Jesus into their life. What did they have to do, preacher? They repented and asked Jesus to come into their life. Look with me in verse number 30, if you will. He is the commander also. He is that commander. Look in verse number 30, if you will. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Because you've put up an inscription to the old nun, God, there's a time he winked at it. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why, preacher? Why must I repent? Why do I hear that all the time? Because the Bible answers itself every time. Why should I repent? Everybody else is living that way. Everybody else is going to get their reward. Don't you worry about everybody else. You do what the Bible says. I'll never forget. I come home, I tell my mom and daddy, well, so-and-so's doing it. And here's their favorite words. And some of you older folks are going to know this. If so-and-so jumped off the bridge, would you jump too? And then a smart aleck would say this. Depends how deep the water is. You know, or how high the bridge is. You understood that though, didn't you? There's a time he winked at it. But now he commanded men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day. Brother Randy said it this morning, everybody's got an expiration date on your life because there's an appointed day that's coming in your life and it's coming in my life that I'm going to have to give an account what I did with the creator of the universe. If I've allowed him to command my life, lead my life, control my life, and be all over my life. This morning I spoke. When he got done and he said there was three people that gave their life to Jesus. Y'all remember that? And then some people thought that preacher's not being nice. And I said this, and I mean it with all my heart. If you got saved, you ought to be telling the world. If you got saved, you ought to be screaming it from the mountaintop. If you got saved, you're going to hide out and get out. You didn't truly get saved. Listen to me. The Bible says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Why? Because there's a day appointed. There's a day coming that you're going to have to give an account of what you did with God. Folks, listen to me. If we can't be the Christian we need to be in here, we'll never be outside these four walls. And we get to that place where we worship the Creator because He's so close and He commands our life. And we don't do it out of ignorance. Look what He says here. And when they, look, because He had appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Who is that man? Jesus Christ. He has ordained Him, wherefore He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. What's my assurance that I'll be ready for that appointed day? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. His resurrection is what will make me ready. They said there's an underground church in China. And said they was underground. And said you didn't have to go underground and be the underground church. But if you could go, and they said there was over 3 million people that was worshiping openly. Openly. And the Chinese government didn't do nothing to you. Wouldn't do nothing to you. You could worship in China, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, publicly. Would not get in no trouble. But one thing you couldn't do is you couldn't evangelize and you couldn't witness. You couldn't evangelize and you couldn't witness. You had to keep your mouth shut. So there was a select group in China. That's what started the underground church. They started hiding out, spreading the gospel, because they'd kill them. They'd imprison them. They'd beat them. They didn't want them spreading Jesus. So they went underground. And they said that, they asked the ones that were underground, said, well, why don't y'all go with them? Because they said, we don't believe they're real. They said, anybody that is born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is going to have to evangelize and they're going to have to spread it. There's no way something as big as God, the creator of the universe, can live in your heart and you keep him quiet. There's no way. There's no way somebody as big as God, the creator, how close, if he saved you, Brother Kevin, he's that close to you. He's living inside of you. And if he's living inside of you, there's no way you can go 24 hours without talking about him or talking to him. You married, you come into a covenant with him. You're in a covenant with Sister Kim by marriage. Do you talk to her daily? How many times in a day, probably?
A bunch.
What about if you didn't talk to her in 6 months? Useless. Why, preacher? Because we don't worship him ignorantly. We know that he's the creator. And if we don't worship him, he'll have the rocks cry out. And I don't want no rock crying out in my place. He's the creator. He's close. He lives inside of me. Woo, ain't that good? The other night, I'm going to share this. The other night, Brandy woke me up. BJ, I was crying like a baby. Fighting. She said, if you hit this baby, I'm going to whoop you. You better quit that. So I was punching him out, Brother Hagin. So I was wearing him out. She finally got me awake, and I come to myself. She said, what are you doing? I said, they had me down. Three of them had me down. I said, I told them, let me go. I'm coming out of here. She said, who was they? I said, there was three black demons with red eyes. 2:22 in the morning. 2:22 in the morning. They can't get in me, but they can get on me. Listen to me this morning. He is close to you. He is your commander. He is your chief. And you must tell who he is. And you know what they told me, Brother Roy? I know you think I'm crazy, but we've run together. You know me. You know what he told me? They said, if you'll shut up talking about him, we'll get off of you. Can I say to you, he's a liar? You quit talking about him, they'll still be on you. You quit telling people about him, they'll still be on you. He said, preacher, you've lost your mind. But there's my, she'll tell you. Said, you hit this baby, you've had it. Well, you better get a hold of that baby. Me and these demons, we going for a round, you hear me? Folks, I fight them and you do too. I don't believe in demons. They done got a hold of you. Man, he's my creator. He's so, man, it's so close. I can feel him breathing on my neck sometimes, Brother Jerry Gaddy. When I woke up that morning, this week, Thursday morning, I wasn't scared a bit when I woke up. I was scared when I was dreaming. When I woke up, I realized it was a dream. I realized he was my commander, and I couldn't shut up because he's done too much for me. But in that dream, you know what they told me? They said, if you'll just shut up, we'll get off of you. Can I say to somebody this afternoon, you want it easy, that's not Christian life. You want a cakewalk, you might as well go home and get out. Get out of the Christian walk because you ain't getting it. It's a battle every day. And you got to be willing to stand and fight or you'll be beat down. He's your creator. He's close to you. Why 2:22 in the morning? I don't know. I ain't figured that out yet, but I know this. I wanted out of it. But I know this, he's my commander. And that's what I signed up for. I signed up to be a man of God. And I'm looking around this room, and there's some men in this room. I pray that that's what you signed up for, to be a man of God. You got families that's got being under attack. You got friends that's being under attack. Your finances are being, there's all kinds of things being under attack. You listen to me this afternoon. Don't you worship God ignorantly. I believe that's what's wrong with a lot of people that say they're Christians. They've never entered the battle. When you enter the battle, you'll realize that it's not ignorant, but it's true. That God's close to them, and He'll command you. What does He command you to do? Repent and to live righteous. Live as close to Him as you can. When all hell breaks loose and it's coming after you, don't you give up. Don't you give in. You stick with the stuff. You stay with it. Frank Hughes, fixing to be baptized tonight, son. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. You stand to it. You're a big old boy. Got old broad shoulders. Wear a large shirt. I don't believe that, but that's okay. You handle a lot of things physical. There ain't very many people in this room whoop you. Big boy as you are. Just your daddy. But let me tell you, it ain't flesh and blood that we're wrestling after. It's a spiritual battle. And you make sure this afternoon that you're worshiping the right Creator, the only Creator, Christ Jesus, God Almighty. You make sure He's close to you. He's right there with you. And you make sure everywhere you go that you let Him command your life. And I promise you this, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Ask our ladies to come. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the unwanted dreams that you send my way sometimes. But Lord, I thank you that at the name of Jesus, they had to flee. At the name of Jesus, they couldn't stay. And at the name of Jesus, I feel so close. Lord, I pray tonight that whoever may be battling something, they'd come to this altar. Lord, I know we had a service this morning. The altar was full. But I know the battle's real. And Father, whoever's not felt your closeness in a long time, but they know they're saved. Father, I pray you just let the Holy Ghost come by and give them that fresh breath that Sister Tanya and Brother Eric talked about this morning. Father, breathe on them this afternoon. Pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.